Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 80 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Jacob Lindberg.
And I'm Peyton Stewart.
We have lots of different nursing positions. We have critical care, emergency department. We have a float pool.
Pikeville Medical Center has opened 120 clinical positions.
Former Prestonsburg Mayor Jerry Fannin has been sentenced to in a federal court.
Authorities in Olive Hill carried out a meth bust.
The deadline for the comment period in Kentucky's proposed Medicaid mandate is tomorrow.
One medical center in Kentucky is leading the way in Alzheimer's research.
In sports, week one for high school football in the Commonwealth starts tonight.
Bud Luke has the stocks.
A 60% chance of showers and thunderstorms tonight with lows in 67 degrees. Stay tuned for an extended weather forecast after this news.
Former Prestonsburg Mayor Jerry Fannin was in federal court in Pikeville Thursday for sentencing. WYMT reports Fannin entered a plea in March after allegations he diverted more than $100,000 of city money and services to the former East Kentucky Drillers football franchise. Since his plea, Fannin has experienced a number of strokes and now suffers from dementia. Fannin's attorney, Ned Pillersdorf, says the former mayor's health problems make the case very unique. Fannin will serve 6 months of home incarceration and is ordered to pay $7,000 in restitution.
A Lexington middle school teacher has been jailed on sexual abuse charges. WKYT reports Winburn Middle School choir teacher Thomas Stewart is lodged in the Fayette County Detention Center on a $30,000 bond. His arrest citation alleges Stewart would invite minors into his home. Fayette County Schools has placed Stewart on administrative leave as the investigation continues.
Lexington police are investigating the death of a Fayette County inmate. WKYT reports Bridget Hall was found unresponsive in her bed Thursday. She was taken to the hospital and died shortly after 5:30 p.m. Police and the coroner are working to determine Hall's cause of death. The jail also plans to conduct an internal investigation. Hall was booked in Fayette County Detention Center Sunday for DUI, reckless driving, and drug possession.
Detectives with Fivco Area Drug Enforcement Drug Task completed a search warrant on a study in Olive Hill. WMKY's Kenzie Johnson reports.
Susan Viglione of Olive Hill has been charged with manufacturing methamphetamine and trafficking of a controlled substance. According to a Fade press release, undercover officers worked with the Olive Hill Police Department and the Carter County Sheriff's Office to execute the warrant. Authorities say they searched Viglione's home and retrieved a multitude of illegal drugs on Sunday. They seized more than 26 grams of methamphetamine, additional methamphetamine precursors, other illegal narcotics, and paraphernalia. Detectives also retrieved one handgun. Additional charges are pending as the FADE continues its investigation. The Drug Task Force encourages the community to call 606-836-0442 to report any illegal drug activity in Carter and Greenup counties. For WMKY News, I'm Kinsey Thompson.
A former Bath County middle school teacher has pled guilty to sexual abuse charges. According to LEX 18, Darvin Andrew Crouch was charged with 8 counts of sexual abuse of a 15-year-old girl. In 2017, the victim's grandmother reported the former social studies teacher to the police, while another family member provided a video containing a conversation between Crouch and the victim. Crouch is cited as confessing his love to the young girl, and police say the video shows the teacher rubbing the juvenile's arm and holding her hand. 2 charges of sodomy and rape were amended and dismissed in the case. Crouch will be sentenced to at least 5 years in prison, will lose his teacher's license, and will be required to register as a lifelong sex offender. We'll be back with more news right after this quick timeout.
Support for MSPR comes from Coffee Tree Books and the Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop, promoting literacy and reading in the MSPR listening area since 1978. Coffee Tree Books, where books are ordered every day and special orders can easily be accommodated, featuring a variety of gifts, cards, locally made crafts, and now a complete yarn shop. A community bookstore located at 159 East Main Street in Moorhead. The Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop and Coffee Tree Books are open Monday through Saturday, online, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Kentuckians are running out of time to weigh in on the state's proposed mandate on Medicaid beneficiaries. The federal comment period on the Kentucky health plan ends tomorrow at midnight. Under the mandate requested, Medicaid expansion beneficiaries will be required to meet an 80-hour per month work requirement to receive coverage. State Outreach and Education Director at Kentucky Voices for Health, Angela Cook, opposes the waiver.
Medicaid waivers are supposed to be innovative. They are supposed to change the way that Medicaid works for the better, and this waiver does the opposite of that. It breaks Medicaid.
Supporters of the mandate says it has the potential to help people run out and move out of poverty to improve their health in the long run. Kentucky was the first of four states in the country to have work requirement waivers approved by federal officials.
Pikeville Medical Center is looking to fill 120 work positions. Hospital officials say growth at the facility has opened a variety of clinical positions. Senior Vice President and Chief Nursing Officer Michelle Rainey spoke with WYMT.
We're expanding our services, especially cardiac, oncology. We've hired some new physicians. We're really looking at expanding our services out into other areas, outlying areas, trying to keep our people close to home.
Rainey says Pikeville Medical Center serves a population of 400,000 people. In early June, the center laid off more than 100 employees, the majority of which were support positions.
President Trump's decision to revoke security clearance from former CIA Director John Brennan was needed, at least that's according to Senator Rand Paul. The Kentucky Republican lobbied for the move, saying Brennan posed a threat to the country.
So John Brennan should not be anywhere within a mile of classified information because he's shown that he's a danger to the country.
Trump's decision has been described by many as retaliation against a vocal critic of the administration.
Spurred by new laws authorizing charter schools and making changes to the state's pension system, an unprecedented 34 current and former teachers are on the ballot in Kentucky for seats in the state legislature. At least six teachers are mounting long-shot write-in campaigns, and New Year Democrats are expected to be highly motivated to turn out and vote. The write-in candidates got a boost this week from Attorney General Andy Beshear. The Democrat, who is running for governor next year with a campaign built around endearing himself to public workers, issued an opinion yesterday saying it was okay for poll workers to post lists of certified write-in candidates at voting precincts. Previously, state officials had told poll workers not to do this, saying it might violate the state's ban on electioneering at voting precincts. It's unclear what impact the opinion will have. Attorney General opinions are advisory, so they don't have the force of a judge's order. But the Kentucky State Board of Elections has the authority to say what is and what is not electioneering. The board is scheduled to meet Tuesday to discuss Beshear's opinion.
Kentucky's jobless rate rose last month. Paul Miles has details.
The unemployment rate was 4.3% in July, up from 4.2% in June. It's the third straight month the jobless rate has increased. University of Kentucky economist Mike Clark says the number of people working actually increased in each of those months. However, the number of people unemployed grew at a faster rate, leading to a higher unemployment rate. The national jobless rate in July was 3.9%. I'm Paul Miles.
Kentucky is home to one of the leading Alzheimer's research centers. According to WLKY, University of Kentucky's Sanders Brown Center on Aging is one of the first places in the region to get a research machine that measures molecules, making it a leading recruiter for Alzheimer's clinical trials in the country. Donna Wilcock is the associate director of the Sanders Brown Center. She says when it comes to treatment options, her patients get the first priority.
We're kind of at the front line of when new drugs come on the market, and when new drugs are being tested, our patients will have the first access to those drugs.
Right now, 750 people are taking part in research at Sanders Brown. More than 5 million people in the U.S. have Alzheimer's.
The Kentucky Transportation Cabinet has announced changes to state driver's licenses and other forms of identification. Beginning in January 2019, new security features aimed at compliance with the Real ID Act will be rolled out in select counties. Department of Vehicle Regulation Commissioner Matt Henderson talks about the process of getting the identification, which includes an 8-year lifespan option.
All Kentucky driver's license and IDs will have a new look to help integrate the enhanced security features. They'll arrive in the mail 5 to 10 days after application at your local circuit court clerk's office. There'll be an optional doubled lifespan of 8 years, and there'll be new pricing to reflect the advanced security features and the longer lifespan.
The new driver's licenses will also allow Kentuckians to vote and access federal benefits. The new 8-year standard driver's license will cost $43, and the new 8-year voluntary travel ID will cost $48. 4-year credentials will be half as much as those costs.
Structural engineers are looking into a building collapse in Lexington. WMKY's Nacogdoches Miller has the story.
The second floor of a warehouse on Westland Drive fell in Thursday afternoon. Lex 18 reports 4 employees were in the building at the time of the collapse. 2 were unable to escape and had to be recovered from the rubble. The employees were taken to the University of Kentucky Medical Center, where they were treated for non-life-threatening injuries. It is still unclear what caused the collapse. Authorities say the building will remain closed during the investigation. For WMKY, I'm Nacogdoches Miller.
A Chinese company says it will buy a shuttered Western Kentucky paper mill and reopen it by the end of the year. Global Wind Wickliffe, LLC, signed a purchase agreement Thursday for the former Verso Corporation mill in Ballard County. Republican Governor Matt Bevin's office said in a news release that the company plans to invest $150 million and hire 500 people. Company officials say they plan to produce pulp and brown paper packaging at the site.
Some volunteer firefighters in Moorhead will soon have the chance to live rent-free. City Council approved a policy Monday that will allow the department next to Rowan County Middle School to offer housing at the station. Fire Chief Jeff Anderson says the new policy is a great way to get college students interested in volunteering.
If we have people that really want to be firefighters, we'll teach them a career. And it's a certified training. We'll give them a job experience, and hopefully they can go on to be firefighters somewhere.
Anderson says the fire department renovated some unfinished space into 5 bedrooms and 2 full bathrooms.
Lexington police are searching for an 18-year-old robbery suspect. WKYT reports Trey Whitaker Blackburn is wanted on robbery and assault charges stemming from a shooting on August 2nd. Investigators believe he and 3 others were involved in the crime. Anyone with information is asked to call 859-258-3600. Taking a look at the weather, tonight there's a 60% chance of showers and thunderstorms, cloudy with a low around 67. Looking at tomorrow, showers are likely and possibly a thunderstorm. Mostly cloudy with a high near 81. The chance of showers is 60. Right now in Flemingsburg, it is 78 degrees. In Lexington, it is 81. In Ashland, it is 82 degrees. In Winchester, it is 80 degrees. In Inez, it's 83. And here in Moorhead, at the Moorhead State University campus, it is 79 degrees.
On our feature segment today, Dr. John Modaff ponders the quaint symbiosis of academic tenure and free speech.
There is a war on academic tenure, and there is a war on free speech. And while these wars may seem unrelated, where one leaves off, the other begins. The case for academic tenure rests most solidly on tenure's protection of the free speech, also known as free thinking, of academics. Without tenure, idealists argue, academics could be sacked for their ideas. The simplicity of that argument is perhaps the bulk of its appeal. We'll see in a moment, though, that only certain ideas are ideally protected by tenure. Many are not. You've already figured out that the tenure case ends where the free speech case begins, or vice versa. Actually, it's the same case, just pertaining to different people. The case for free speech pertains to everyone, not just academics. The value of free speech for everyone, though, is exactly the same. People ought to be able to say what they think without fear of punishment or reprisal. Notice that doesn't say without fear of rebuttal. So it's reprisal that academics and normal people all want to be free of so they may speak and therefore think freely. Now let's spend just a second or two on tenure. As an academic idealist, tenure's hard not to love, but as a taxpayer and as an average person on the street, it appears to be a touch more protection than the rest of us can afford or even expect. There are consequences for our free speech. Reprisal can come in many forms, but it comes. Chain of command, respecting channels, using the organizational chart, respecting tradition and even seniority, all of these end up as restrictions on free speech. It's called rhetorical sensitivity in some circles and oppression in others. Anyhow, if this ameliorated free speech is good enough for the rest of us, why isn't it good enough for academics? That is, if we are all protected by the First Amendment, then why do academics need another layer of protection on top of that? It's easy to get jealous of those danged academics. But don't feel too bad. Tenure isn't ideal, remember? Tenure doesn't really protect much of anyone if an institution is determined to be rid of them. If your ideas are purely philosophical, but cut hard against the current national mood, tenure won't protect you. Just ask Ward Churchill, who was dismissed, despite having tenure, for inflammatory ideas expressed concerning 9/11. Or ask the tenured persons across the United States who have been severely disciplined or let go for dereliction of duty or for harassment, despite being driven to those behaviors by ideas they perceived to be right and proper. Tenure is no refuge in such cases. So unlike free speech, which we really should never surrender, tenure might lose the war that's being waged against it, and that might not really change things much that are already going on. As someone who has been granted academic tenure, I guess it's safe for me to say that the best thing after getting it was not having to keep applying for it. Once it's over, a non-idealist knows that the cord can still be cut for a host of reasons that have nothing to do with ideas, and even some that do. I'm John Modaff.
Dr. John Modaff is a professor of speech at Morehead State University. The time is 4:47. You're tuned in to Morehead State Public Radio's Mountain Edition. I'm Jacob Lindberg, here with Peyton Stewart, and we're glad you joined us on this Friday afternoon. Leanne Akers has sports right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from Major Brands Tire and Automotive Service. Major Brands offers tire replacement with name brand tires such as BF Goodrich, Kelly, Uniroyal, and Michelin. Vehicle maintenance by certified technicians includes brakes, belts and hoses, steering, batteries, oil changes, and more. Walk-ins or appointments are welcome. Major Brands Tire and Automotive Service in Moorhead and Mount Sterling. Open Monday through Friday, 8 to 5, Saturday, 8 to 1, and online at majorbrandstire.com.
Friday Night Lights kick off in the Bluegrass tonight. For WNKY Sports, I'm Leanne Akers. The Rowan County football team hosts their season opener with Morgan County tonight. Last year, the Vikings were 3-8 on the season. 2017 was the first year with Kelly Ford as head coach. Ford says this year he's focusing on the fundamentals.
Staying on blocks, a little fundamental things, catching the football, making sure tackling. We went back to tackling hard this week just to try to get ourselves ready to go.
Kickoff tonight is scheduled for 7:30 p.m. Rowan County will host Bath County next Friday. The Morgan County Cougars are ready for tonight's matchup with Rowan. Head coach Mark Easterling says he expects the Vikings to be a well-coached team.
Got a lot of good athletes, so we got to kind of match the physical part of the game. I think they're going to look to run the ball on us a lot. It's kind of what they did with us last year. So we got to show up and just be ready to play physical, fast.
Morgan County has a bye next week and will host their home opener with Jenkins on August 31st. In some other area high school gridiron news, teams around the Bluegrass are preparing to start their regular season play tonight. Lewis is gearing up to take on Greenup County at home. After finishing last season at 2-8, Lewis head coach Josh Hughes says that the plan for tonight is to keep Greenup from making any big plays.
They're obviously a pretty tough football team, so we've got to make sure that we've got the ball and hold on to the ball and take away their chances to score on offense. You know, we'll be relying on our running game as much as we can. I liked what we were able to do in our scrimmage last week, throwing in passes. So, you know, we'll have to open it up a little bit compared to what we did last week, but You know, I think, you know, a lot of it is going to be playing keep away. And defensively, we have to make sure that they don't put us in a bad position to set us up for a big play.
Lewis is returning a total of 11 players from last year's squad. Kickoff tonight is at 7:30. The Cincinnati Bengals will look to go 2-0 on the preseason when they take on the field tomorrow night at AT&T Stadium against the Dallas Cowboys. One thing Bengals coaches will be looking for is improved play at the linebacker position, namely free agent acquisition Preston Brown, who led the league in tackles last season. Second-year linebacker Hardy Nickerson says he believes Brown's leadership has helped elevate the Bengals' linebacking core.
I think he's just made us even deeper. We have a lot of talent in the room, even from the undrafted rookies all the way up to Vontez. There's just so much talent in the room, and everybody's been playing well throughout training camp and throughout preseason. So we're just, you know, Preston brings that veteran leadership, and to the mic position, we're just happy to have him.
Kickoff in Dallas tomorrow night is at 7 p.m. The Lady Vikings soccer team took down Lexington Model in their season opener at home last night, 4-2. Senior Riley Patton and junior Promise Cross had two goals each during the first half. Coach Alan Evans says the gals in green were looking to score early and often.
A couple years ago, we had a bad habit of letting spot the other team a goal or two, and then we'd finally start playing. So last year, we really trying to focus on scoring in the first 5 minutes. We're getting a couple good shots off and starting off at a high-level pace.
The Lady Vikings will head to Woodford County tomorrow to face off with Bluegrass United. They travel to Lawrence County on Monday. In boys soccer action, the Vikings fell to 2-1 last night. Rowan's Fellas faced off with Montgomery County and lost 2-0. Rowan hosts Sayre tomorrow at 6:30 and West Carter on Tuesday. The Cincinnati Reds start a three-game home set tonight against San Francisco Giants. After their Wednesday loss to the Indians, the Reds dropped that series 0-3. Robert Stevenson told Fox Sports Ohio that his performance in Wednesday's 4-3 loss was not at all to his liking.
It's definitely tough. You know, especially today, I felt really good coming out of the bullpen. I felt like everything was going to be great today, and then got out there and obviously just went the way it went. You know, obviously, like, walks are part of my game, but the walks that I've been issuing lately are not the walks that I want to issue. You know, there's times for it and there's times not for it, and lately those are not the time.
The Reds are currently 52-69 on the year. First pitch in tonight's game against San Francisco starts at 7:10. All-star outfielder George Springer is expected to come off the disabled list for the Houston Astros when the defending champions visit Oakland for the openers of a pivotal three-game series between West contenders. Last year's World Series MVP has been sidelined with a sprained left thumb. Charlie Morton pitches for the bandaged-up Astros, who have a two-game lead in the division over the surprising Athletics. Edwin Jackson gets the ball for Oakland. In other MLB action tonight, the Mets host the Phillies. The Blue Jays face the Yankees. The Cubs play the Pirates. The Marlins face off with the Nationals. And the Rays play the Red Sox. And finally, in sports today, the Breeders' Cup will be coming back to Keeneland for the 2020 Breeders' Cup, which will take place on Friday, November 6th, and Saturday, November 7th. This will be the second time that Keeneland will serve as the event's host site. The formal announcement took place in the Keeneland paddock earlier today. Breeders' Cup also announced that the event will return to the Santa Anita Park in Arcadia, California on November 1st and 2nd in 2019 and Del Mar in Del Mar, California on November 5th and 6th in 2021. And that's going to do it for sports. For WMKY, I'm Leanne Akers.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics. Eagles soccer and football season tickets are now available. Soccer has 7 home games, including their home opener with Ball State on August 26th. Football has 6 home games, hosting Mount St. Joseph on September 8th. More information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the National Offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. The Dow Jones Industrials jumped after a report said President Donald Trump and Chinese leader Xi Jinping hope to discuss U.S.-China trade in November. And the Dow Industrials did finish with a gain of 110.59 at 25,669.32. The S&P 500 was up 9.44 to finish at 2850.13. And the NASDAQ Composite was up 9.81 to finish at 78-16.33. Today's report comes after National Economic Council Director Larry Kudlow confirmed that China and the U.S. would hold fresh rounds of trade discussions later on in the month of August. And, of course, China and the U.S. have been engaged in a trade spat recently, with both countries slapping tariffs on several of their imports. And new tariffs are due to come into place against Chinese exports later in the month of August, unless the upcoming meeting could avert such an occurrence. It's also been a turbulent week for the Turkish market, and of course their ongoing geopolitical and economic issues are weighing against the positive headlines on the U.S.-Chinese trade negotiations. Turkey's currency, the lira, hit an all-time low against the dollar on Monday. The currency bounced off of these lows but then resumed its decline today amid fears of additional sanctions from Washington. The U.S. warned Turkey that it would impose more levies if American pastor Andrew Brunson is not released. He has been detained in Turkey since 2016, and the threats today sent the lira down by about 3.7%. Shares of Applied Materials dropped more than 7.5% after the company issued weaker-than-expected guidance for its fiscal fourth quarter, and NVIDIA fell almost 5% after its revenue forecast disappointed investors. These declines brought down the VanEck Vector Semiconductor Exchange-Traded Fund by about 0.7%. Among Dow industrial stocks, your best performers today were Caterpillar and Apple, while your worst performers were Walmart and Nike. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Nordstrom and Coty, while the worst performers were Applied Materials and NVIDIA. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Action Global up 22 cents at 84.80, CSX up a quarter at 73.69, AEP up 15 cents at 72.49, AK Steel up 14 cents at 4.38, Marathon Petroleum up 43 cents at 77.12, and Fifth Third Bank was down 15 cents to finish at 29.69. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from the Community Recycling Center in Moorhead. The center offers a convenient 24-hour drop-off for a variety of recyclables and on-site pickup program for Rowan County businesses. Shredding services are available for businesses or individuals, and the center provides tours for classrooms and civic groups. Located near the Moorhead City Park, the Community Recycling Center also accepts computers, printers and fax machines, DVDs, CDs, phones, videotapes, and game devices. More information at 784-1250.
Taking a look at a few community events, Coffee Tree Books in Main Street in Moorhead will host the band Collide, performing Americana, Blues, and Soul from 6 to 8 p.m. on Saturday, August 25th. Admission is free, and the public is invited.
The American Red Cross will sponsor a blood drive from 11 to 3:30 p.m. on Tuesday, August 21st at the Carl Perkins Community Center in Moorhead. A blood donor card, driver's license, or two forms of identification are required at check-in. Taking a look at the weather, tonight it'll be a 60% chance of showers and thunderstorms. Cloudy with a low around 67. Saturday, showers likely and a possible thunderstorm. Mostly cloudy with a high near 81. Chance of showers is 60%. Saturday night, a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms. Mostly cloudy with a low around 67. The temperature in Fleming's is 78. In Lexington, it's 81. In Ashland, it's 82. In Winchester, the temperature is 80. In Inez, it's 83, and in Moorhead, it is 79 degrees.
And that'll do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Joe Lewis, Kenzie Thompson, Chaz Jenkins, Logan Pemberton, Nacogdoches Miller, and Leanne Akers. Hilliard Lyons' Bud Luke had your stock report, and our feature segment came from Moorhead State University's Dr. John Modaff. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead, and translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at wmky.org. For Peyton Stewart and all of the MSPR news team, I'm Jacob Lindberg for WMKY News. All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.